America is sick and needs to get well. Tune into the next More Faith, More Life podcast, and you'll learn how we can get that done. Hello and welcome again to another More Faith, More Life podcast. I'm here today to talk about some great things about faith and life with my co-host, Kathy Gray. I got with me again today, and we're going to talk about some very, very important things. You know, Kathy, this podcast business is tough because everybody's picked up on it. Now there's so many, many, many that some that got in early and built a big audience, they still got big audience. Did you come in later, and you know that audience is already split up. And then there are people they want podcasts for entertainment. They like them. They're celebrities, so do podcast celebrities. And some podcasts they just say nothing about nothing. Others try to help people do stuff. And so then you come along with us, and we have More Faith, More Life. You're really not doing it for the moment. When you listen to us, you're not just like, okay, I'm going to listen to them and be entertained. I'm going to listen to them and feel good about myself. I'm going to listen to them and, well, I might say something funny. Who knows? Maybe. But might have a little sense of humor. But that's not our goal. When we talk about more faith, more life, the end is we want to see more life produced in them because we need it in this world. We need it in our churches since church is our business. That's what we do. We're in the church world, pastors. But the people going to church across America, they're not putting out life, and they're not living by faith. They're living by fear.
Right.
They're living by emotions. They're living by anxiety, just like everybody else. And so then the end, that life that we're supposed to have as Christians and as believers is not being manifest very often because we're all working as victims and hurting and mixed up, and we all know how hard life is, blah, blah, blah. And you just got to turn that around a little bit. So that's what's difficult is this More Faith, More Life podcast is to make your life better. It's not to entertain you, although maybe we can be entertaining a little.
Well, occasionally, I think.
But
yes.
That's not our purpose. Yeah. Our purpose is to put faith into your life, and it gets better. And then you tell people, and you help people, and you're not the victim anymore. You're the victor. You wear the victor's crown along with Jesus, and you go forth in the power of his might, in the strength of God and his mighty power with the shield of faith, you know, all the things we talk about, and go forth and be a different person that changes the world just by your own attitude. Just by your own attitude.
Oh, that God life coming out of you.
Yeah, and you, one life. After the other. So it's really hard to try to tell people, you need to listen to More Faith, More Life because you're hearing stuff that other people aren't going to say. And it's not that they couldn't say it or wouldn't say it or shouldn't say it. It's not what they're trying to do. They're trying to be entertaining. They're trying to be podcast superstars or whatever. But we're trying to help change their lives.
Yes.
And so you got to listen differently, and you got to love your friends and relatives and church folks enough to say, this is a podcast you need to listen to because they're working. Every time we listen to them, they're working to make my life better and your life better, easier, more powerful, more God-like, more God-empowered, more Holy Spirit-empowered. And so once you realize that, you say, well, I got to listen every week to them because they're going to help me my life get better. Then I can go listen to something entertaining. I can go listen to a superstar and just have fun, you know, whatever. But that's not our purpose. And it's easy in our adolescent culture, society, to just want to be entertained all the time. Say, well, I don't want to listen to them. They're talking about my life and what I need to do and how I can make it better. I'm just going to go watch something silly. So discipline yourself. Watch every single time. Tell your friends. Subscribe. Do all the stuff people do.
Yes.
Yourself.
Definitely.
We're not doing it to get for us.
It, you know, like I tell people, Steve, we already know all this. We already live all of this. And so we're not doing this to feel good about ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't need to make ourselves feel better about ourselves or to live that God kind of life. We're driven, really, I think. We're driven to help other people get it. It's for them. So when we're through with this, we won't walk away today and say, oh, we feel so good about ourselves. We feel more life.
Well, other thing, too, I'm doing this, but I already know all this stuff.
Exactly.
What am I doing this for? I don't need this. I already know all this
That's
stuff.
Right.
But maybe you don't know all this stuff. And so now we're going to help you get it. All right. So in your hand, you're holding the booklet.
Yes.
And let's talk about that a minute. It's small, but we had a discussion a few days ago about expanding this. A second edition be twice the size, maybe, with some information. We're working on it anyway.
I would like that very much.
It's so needed.
Be very beneficial.
It's not enough.
No, there's not enough.
Because in I'm getting you off.
Oh, I lost my place. America is sick. It's sick unto death.
America is sick and sick unto death.
There you go.
All right, now where are you going to hear it? If that's a true statement, then you need to start listening to people who can make it well. You want to get well.
That's right.
So I did this little booklet, and I did it in a hurry for mostly politicians who were meeting. You know, they had all the conventions, political things were going on this year. And so I made it basically for them, and so I didn't write it in a way that a Christian that goes to church is going to feel, ooh, this is so inspirational. That's not an inspirational statement. America is sick and sick unto death. That is a true statement that needs your help and needs your message, and you need to get this to other people and politicians and your own pastor. It's free to download, although you can pay a little bit and get this little book. It's only five chapters, and I feel bad about that. Maybe you want to hold it up so they can see it real good, higher by your face almost. There you go, if you only knew. A Guide to the Clueless Generation. And so, you know, I didn't write it to soothe you. I did it to inform you what you can do. How can we save America from itself? And I know with the elections now, some people are feeling better about some things, and I think that's good. But the root of the problem in America is much deeper than a political party. And so it's five chapters. I'd like to double it to 10 chapters and start over and make it a thicker book. So it's an actual book and not a booklet, because some people don't take a booklet seriously.
Right, but this is potent.
Yeah, I wanted to make it short so people could get it quick.
Exactly.
But instead, some people, it's just a little booklet. And so they think that's not worth reading.
It packs a punch,
so anyway,
I tell
you. You can get it. So anyway, you've been looking at it. What strikes you?
Yes, I have been, I've been looking at chapter 2. On the current war, and there's so much stuff in here, Steve, that just like it just hits me. And I thought maybe today I could kind of read some of the passages that jumped out at me and interview you. And
so the chapter's called what?
The current war.
So I'm stating there is some kind of war going on.
There's a war going on, and here you say this. Today, we don't have a crime problem or a shooter problem. We have a heart problem. The terrible thing seen outwardly are only symptoms of the inward battle. There will never be a ceasefire or a peace process inside the combat zones of our hearts without the understanding that what we feel is not emotional but spiritual. So here's the problem. And how can you talk to us more about what kind of heart problem is this?
Well, you know, when you mention that it's not a crime problem or a shooter problem, obviously I'm referring to school shooting, assassination attempts, all that kind of stuff. When you get we'll just use that, not general crime. We'll just use the shooter problem, school shootings or assassination attempts, whatever. When you get a shooter becomes a shooter because something that person has heard, okay? Not something that person is feeling. It's something they've heard, and they're reacting to what they've heard. They either heard it from somebody else, or they heard it from themselves. They talk to themselves. They believe something. They believe something in their head. They're hearing something in their head that makes them go get a gun and shoot. So to solve the problem, I can't just solve and say, well, they need to be put on medication. You know, that doesn't solve the problem, because then the next we can't put everybody on medication that's hearing all these things, right?
Right.
But what we can do is realize they're hearing these things is because their heart is betraying them. Their heart has betrayed them, or a person has betrayed them, put things into their heart. So now they're believing the way their heart feels. They're believing how they feel is real. And they try to solve it. And so then the odd ways, like shooting or crime or stealing or murder or whatever, assassination, whatever happens. So in order to solve the shooter problem, we'll just get back to that one. Mm-hmm. I can't go to them and give them drugs. I can't just lock them up. And I can't keep weapons. I can't keep weapons out of their hands, because the weapons are not doing guns are not doing the shooting, a person is.
Right.
And if you get that a gun out of that person, they'll just be another person. And the problem with that, too, is criminals don't care whether it's against the law to have a gun.
That's right.
That's why they're criminals.
Yep.
That's why they do crime. Yeah. They don't care. And then law-abiding citizens are trying to, you know, do the right thing, guns and all the laws and all that. So we if we have a shooter problem, we have a heart problem. And to change the heart, you can't change the heart by emotions. In other words, I can't come to a child at night who's crying because they're afraid of the dark and say, stop being afraid of the dark. You know, just reason with them. There's nothing there. You're not afraid of anything. It's all made up. It's all in. Okay. And then you turn out the light and walk away and they're just as scared as ever. Mm-hmm. They're just bucking up because you told them to. But they didn't get anything. There was no heart problem, heart change. Because now you have to be able to speak to the spirit of a person. And that's where America's failing. And that's where the church is failing. We're making ourselves mind and soul, body, soul, mind, emotions, no spirit. We're not ministering to the spirits of people. If you want to change how somebody feels, how they think, you touch the spirit. And you know, you get a football team together and they're all the winning team and they have that phrase, esprit de corps or whatever, the spirit of the group.
Yeah.
The spirit of the group. Yeah. Now you've changed losers into winners by changing the spirit of the group.
Yes.
Not the emotions. Right. Not saying, go be a winner. Come on. Just go be a winner. Just straighten up. Stop feeling that way. You know, change your mind. Stop being so selfish. You know, and we tell them those things. And so we try to change how we feel, right?
Yes.
But we're not changing who we are.
We are.
We change who we are, and we change our minds by the power of the Spirit, by touching somebody's spirit.
Right.
So we have a spiritual problem, and the frustrating part is in the spiritual problem, you can't get anybody paying attention. You can't even get the churches to address it as a spiritual problem. Churches address everybody's problems as emotional problems. It's your emotions. It's your feelings. We're going to try to help you feel better about life. We're going to help your emotions. We're going to calm you down. We're going to give you a pep talk, right? Yeah. I'm going to give you an inspiration talk that God loves you and everything's going to be okay and you're going to make it. I know you're going to make it because I made it. And so we're talking, but what we need is we need to have something that can touch our spirits. And only God, the God of the spirit realm, can touch a spirit and actually change you from a criminal to a law-abiding citizen. Can change the shooter, right?
Yes.
To a worshiper, to a lover, to a good dad, a good mom, or whatever. No longer. Because they changed the spirit. So America is sick because we refuse to look at the spiritual sickness and get down to why are we sick. We're treating the symptoms of sickness. We're making ourselves feel better by movies, entertainment, and church, and prayer, whatever.
Yeah.
More money, spending money, Christmas presents. We address the symptoms, but we're never going to get ahead of this. We're not going to have a peace process in the hearts of people without being able to touch their spirits. And we have so many people, so many churches, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of churches everywhere that are touching our emotions, but not our spirits. And they don't know how. And so many pastors, even those listening right now, don't know how to spiritually move someone to a different level in God's realm. Right? But what does the Bible say? Don't be filled with wine. Be filled with the Spirit.
Yes.
And you'll be filled with the Spirit. And the Bible says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So all this filling of the Spirit, so they changed.
Yeah.
And Paul on the road to Damascus, he's a shooter. Not in the modern day. He wasn't carrying a gun, but he was a criminal.
He was a murderer.
He was going to get Christians murdered and thrown into prison with their children and their children, whole families. And he is on, we forget that because he's such a changed man, angry, on his way to Damascus to throw children, moms, dads, some of them be crucified, killed. And he wouldn't actually do it with his bare hands. He would do it with his influence, though, and because he's a very powerful man. And on that road to Damascus, what happened to him? See, He didn't get touched emotionally. Somebody didn't come and counsel him. Say, listen, you need to think through this. This is not a good life. This is not a good career choice, right? Being a Pharisee that sees people get killed, trying to get them and put in jail. That's not a good career choice, Paul. Of course, he was called Saul. No. Without anybody counseling him or making him feel better about himself, he was suddenly struck in his spirit by the Spirit of God. And it was a powerful thing that changed him. And the shooter became a worshiper, or the persecutor became a preacher. Changed. A girl who is thinking about an abortion and just hurting and confused and thinks they have no future and all that, decides not to have an abortion. Why? Because her spirit got changed.
Yes.
Not because somebody came and tried to explain it's murder and it's da-da-da-da-da. Well, okay, that's all truth, scientific things to understand. But that's not how she changed. She didn't change because you said it was murder. She didn't change because you said, you can do it. You will be a good mom. And you're trying to get her emotions to decide not to have an abortion. All you got to do is touch her spirit.
Yes.
And you know, the Spirit of God is life.
Yes.
It's life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and
the life.
So we're trying on this podcast to get what? Get more life.
More life.
By faith. Use your faith that you can have, and get more life. Now, if I get more life in her and she's touched by the Spirit of life, then she's not going to go have an abortion and take a life, because she just got filled with the Spirit
Hallelujah.
Of life. And everything in you screams life, live, 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 right?
Yes.
Live. And so that's how we solve this crime problem. That's how we solve the shooter problem, or the other problems that we have. And the division in America, you want to get rid of division, touch people's spirit.
Yes.
We go back to sports again. You know, you know, Arrowhead Stadium, that's not what they call it now. They call it GEHA or whatever.
Whatever. Yeah.
Is the loudest decibel stadium in the world. You know, it is loud. We've been there a few times, and it is loud. You might as well
plan on
standing and screaming.
Oh my.
Okay.
Yeah.
But all those people are there. They all voted for different people. They all have different emotions. They all have different problems, right?
Yeah.
But the spirit of the stadium and the spirit of the game has unified them, that you can be with somebody a different color, different race, different denomination, different political party. You've been through it. They haven't been through it. You're rich. They're poor, whatever. And that all disappears because of spirit.
There it is.
And, you know, it's not the Holy Spirit. Okay. But the spirit of the game, we all understand, has swept them in to where we are the same.
Yes.
And so that's what the church needs to do.
Yeah.
See, if the church could sweep us in on a Sunday morning and get us all of the same spirit, we probably would all vote the same. We probably would all be, we'd all be great worshipers. We'd all be great lovers. We'd all be victorious, see, because it swept in. So that's the peace process in the world is not to go negotiate with the devil or the evil people. The peace process starts with getting it in me.
That's good.
And I am a representative of the peace of God. The Prince of Peace is
inside
of me.
So
and
that,
ruling.
Yes, and ruling. So that is another big point that you've been saying for a long time, and then you put it in this chapter, and it is, we are waging a war we cannot win in our current spiritual condition.
Right. Oh, tough one. I've been to ministries and I've preached that and taught that and told that. I don't know if it went in one ear and out the other, just went over their head. Because if you start with the premise that everything in the church is right, we're the angels, and then it's all the devils are all out there. All we need to do is come to church and try to be good people and love and confess Jesus and try to be good people, then we're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
We're waging a war we cannot win in our present spiritual condition. I have so many examples about that. In the 1980s, there were preachers that made themselves famous and rich, and all they did was pound the pulpit against homosexuals and homosexuality, and they pounded it and pounded it and pounded it on TV, and it was in the face of those people. Now, Jesus didn't do that. You see, when he started preaching, he didn't preach against the Romans who were naked in the baths with prostitute boys, taking baths with boys. and prostitutes and the pornography. He did not found that, because if he did that, he would only enrage them more, and they would empower themselves more. So instead, he went to his people and he says, "Let me tell you how to get peace, how to get victory." Wow. And he was trying to get. He says, "You, my people, need to repent." And you could argue, say, "Well, those Romans, they need to repent too." Yes, but that's not the way to healing. That's not the way to victory.
Wow.
That's not the way. And so when we realize Jesus is really concerned about his church, where the leaders are saying, we're okay. But yet we have lukewarm churches, right? Backslidden,
yes.
Lukewarm, worldly entertainment, living the same problems that people that don't go to church do. And so we're waging a war we cannot win. Now, I got that from two things. Well, from the example I just told you from the 1980s. So what happened then? The homosexual community decided they'd had enough. They'd had enough. Rather than preachers preaching to the people in front of them and telling them how they can serve and who they're supposed to, and the Word of God, they preached to the people that weren't sitting in front of them. And so the people that weren't sitting in front of them didn't want to go to church. And they said, "We've had enough of this." So they organized, they empowered, they put their money together, and they said, "We'll take over the media, and we'll get our message out there too through the media." And now it's common lifestyle, isn't it? It's common lifestyle. And so what happened was Jesus told them that in Jesus' day, the Romans were there, they hated the Romans, and they wanted to defeat them. They came up with the idea, we're the Jewish people, we're the people. King David, he defeated the Philistines, and as of the book, our new book talks about Gideon, the might of Gideon. Gideon, they defeated the Midianites, you know. And so they're thinking like, hey, we're the people of God. We just need to get organized with it. Let's get some swords and spears. Let's start gathering them over the years. They did it over years, and hiding them from the Romans, because the day's going to come when God's going to send us a leader, like a Messiah leader, and we're going to go, and we are going to wage war against Rome. That was the plan. A lot of people don't know that plan, don't realize how strong that plan was. So Jesus said, you're waging a war you cannot win. And he said, if you're going to wage a war, you need to go count. Do you have enough to win this war? And basically saying, you guys don't. The reason being is they had an assumption that because in our case, we'd say, well, because I'm a Christian, I'm going to win. God's on our side. God's on my church side. God's on our side. We're Christians. Or in their case, we're the Jewish people of God. God's on our side. We just got to wait for the right moment, the right leader, and then we're going to win. So when Jesus did not become that leader and say, you guys need to repent. I'm not going after the Romans. I'm going after you, and you're going to win in the long run because I'm going to change your hearts, and I'm going to get you in the condition to win this war. But in your present condition, lukewarm, compromised, love of money, love of self, serving self, all those things that we see today.
Yes.
He said, you're fooling yourselves. You're acting like you can go out in that condition of selfish, compromised religion that barely thinks about God, that lives for itself, serves itself, can go out and wage a major war against these spirits, evil spirits that are definitely now in the world, right? They're here.
Yes.
They want to destroy Israel. They want to destroy us. They want to destroy the church.
Yes.
All that stuff. And you want to go wage a war against those spirits in your current spiritual condition when you can't even die to yourself over who's going to watch which TV program. And you have an argument about what movie you're going to watch. You're in that. That's the level we're on. And then we want to wage war against these major evil spirits. So he said this. He said, listen, if you're going to go build a tower.
Yes.
You better make sure you've got enough money and strength to finish it. Mm-hmm. And they didn't. What he's saying to them is, you don't have enough spirit to build this tower. You don't have enough spirit to win this war against the Romans. So, in my book, I say, they're going to come, and they're going to defeat you.
Mm-hmm.
You're assuming, because you're Jewish, the people of God, that you can beat all the enemies. And he says, what you need, you must have a spiritual revival, a spiritual renaissance, a spiritual renewal. There has to be a fresh wave of people wanting to be spiritual and wanting to walk with God. And yes. So, in my opinion, that's exactly where Israel is at. They've got all the weapons. They've got all the things. And they really do, in my belief, have a promise on them from God.
Yes.
But they're waging a war they cannot win in their current spiritual condition. Mm-hmm. We can't have Jewish people over there who don't believe in God. And there's a lot. It's full of that. They're called secular Jews. They're Jewish by almost by race, so to speak, you know, born into it. But they have no spiritual condition. They don't believe. They don't believe. And so now they would be, if we would have a spiritual revival, just to the Jewish people in Israel, just like, it's time for us to turn to the living God. Everybody. All of us turn to the living God. We will be unstoppable because we've got the weapons. We've got the heart. Now we just need to have God on our side. Okay. Well, America's the same way. We have it too. We have great weapons. We have everything, you know, but yet, even in that, you know, we're hurting financially. People can't buy the groceries. They're concerned about, are there going to be enough Christmas presents to go around? We still have shooters. We still have assassins. We still have evil coming into our country. All those things are going on. And so we're trying to solve it by politics or by encouragement or by elections, which are all important and need to be done correctly. But we're waging a war we cannot win if we don't realize the spiritual condition of America is very worldly, carnal, self-seeking, spoiled, rotten, complainers, angry. And we say we're the most blessed nation in the world, but we're not.
No.
We have the most stuff of the world. But other nations are more blessed. I told you that, in this book, it's either this book or another book. The other book that I'm writing, wrote about the story and when I was in the Philippines and I stopped. They'd had, you know, it rains so hard, it floods the streets, nobody can drive, it's a mess. And so we pulled over some gas station or whatever, and there was a couple there in the book, I explained it to you. And they just had a shopping cart of junk, you know, and stuff they'd picked up around. And so they're there, and I tried to, you know, I talked to them, and the missionary who I was with talked to them. That, and they looked, they pointed across the street, and across the street was a dump. You know, we cover our dumps up. We didn't used to, you know, but you know that you see the birds flying above it and eating all the trash. And there were three kids in their underwear, like, you know, 2, 3, 5, you know, that age group, little kids. They're all just in their little white underwear, playing in the trash, rolling in the garbage, laughing and playing and throwing stuff. And I don't know what all they're doing. And those are our kids over there. I'm like, what? Oh, I probably wouldn't want my kids playing in the dump. If we're the richest nation in the world, why do those kids playing in the dump look more happy than our kids? Mm-hmm. Why are our kids committing suicide? Why are our kids depressed? Why are our kids having to be put on drugs in second, third, fourth grade? Why do they have to have an angry room to go to where they can go scream their heads off because they're so angry? So we're not the richest in the right riches. We have riches, but we're not right in the right riches. So I came back. And I told a group of ladies about it. I was just sharing. I said, yeah, those kids, they didn't have anything. And they said, well, where would that preacher know? I said, yeah, that pastor probably knows them. Probably knows those people. So they said, let's get backpacks and pencils and shoes and a Game Boy or whatever way back then. And let's go send that stuff over. And I said, are you crazy? What are you doing? Do you want them to become as unhappy as we are? Leave them alone. They're richer than we are.
Yes.
They were Christians, by the way. They're richer than we are, and they have nothing. Yeah. Let's remember that. So we're waging a war we cannot win in our current spiritual condition. So, because we are up against evil spirits that we have never seen or felt before in our country and in other countries. But we can win this thing.
Yes.
Win this thing. But now we got to go. So what I think America needs now is to make great strides, and some people are happy with the election. I hope you are. But now we've got to go back to the spirit. And the thing is, politicians know. They know we need that. I've listened to their speeches, and they said, we need a spiritual revival. I heard somebody say, we need a spiritual renaissance in America. I said it in that book, because after they read the book, they said that. But then I go to pastors, nothing. They don't want to do anything different. You can't get them to budge.
And why is that?
Well, they are like the Pharisees and Sadducees of Jesus' day. They're richer than they've ever been. They live higher than they've ever been. They're respected in their churches. They have a system where it's a system of getting people to come in and soothing their emotions, soothing their emotions, keeping them emotional, and enabling them. They have to come back every week. They give their money because it's built an empire of religion in this world, but it doesn't touch the spirit. So people come away and they say God is in the house, but where? What did God do? There's no evidence. So we have to have our spirits touched. So that's what this is about.
I love it.
America's sick, but it can become well. Mm-hmm. But we got to get over this, that we can do this without becoming the spiritual people we are. Whether you like it or not, you are a spirit.
Yes, you are.
You have a body.
Yes.
And you live with a soul, which is your mind, will, emotions. But you are a spirit. You neglect your spirit, you'll never be happy. You'll never be satisfied. You'll have moments. You'll go on vacation and you'll be happy for 2 weeks. Okay. You'll have moments. But you'll never have long-lasting, satisfied life because you're neglecting a spirit. You got a famine. You're starving. Your spirit is starving for the things of God. And we need leaders to rise up and feed us and deliver us so that we can wage a war against these evil spirits and we can win. And it's not because we're against anything. We're for everybody. We want you to get more life. More faith means more life. So I hope you'll get the book. You can still download it free. Give it to your pastor. Read it. I hope I can fatten it up in the next months ahead and help us get until America gets not just somebody elected, but America gets well.
Yes.
Okay. You got that? Get this book. Tell your friends about this podcast. It is different, and they need to hear it. Till next time. Bye-bye.